Tell me when I'm telling lies. That's right, folks. Hey there, Moonlight Citizens. This is your man on the moon. Oh, Moonlight King, better yet. I have never really gone in depth on AEW. But damn it, this tape, this CM Punk Jack Perry backstage crap has got me thinking all kinds of things. Not just that, but the year AEW has had as of late. And I normally don't talk AEW. Whenever you hear me talk pro wrestling, it's always WWE. You know, it's always going to be the Fed and not much else. Why? Because that's the show I mainly watch. That's the show that I focus on mostly. Every now and then, I'll watch AEW. I am the most casual of the casual AEW fans, right? Right? So, except for this year, though, man. This year has been pretty eventful. Granted, last year was eventful. You know, Brawl Out, Brawl In, the firing of CM Punk, and that's mainly what I'm going to cover today. Yeah, not the firing of CM Punk. I've done that already. I'm going to cover the events that, led to it and the events that came after. So for those who don't know, which is not many, as the freaking... Well, let's be honest. It is pretty many if that tape proves anything. CM Punk and Jack Perry had a scuffle backstage. There was something to do with broken glass. Like that one song from what's that show? It wasn't True Jackson, Victorious, yeah. There was something to do about glass. There was a rental car, and Jack Perry wanted to smash the real glass of the rental car. And, you know, Docs told him no, Shivani told him no, but he told them to go screw themselves. And Shivani was like, hey, Punk, can you go tell this guy that, you know, this is a bad idea? So Punk goes and says, hey, don't do this indie crap, all right? Not on my show. This ain't happening, all right? You want to do that? Go do that on Wednesdays. So Perry don't listen. He does the spot, glass and all. If he'd done the spot, I'm pretty sure no one would have known the difference. No one would have known it was real glass or that sugar glass that they use. No one would have been the wiser, man. But then he looks right at the camera, taps the glass and goes, real glass, cry me a river. Okay, this kicks off a fight backstage because dude, apparently, Punk went up to talk to the guy, and there was a, you got a problem with it, do something about it. And as the tape shows, I won't get to the tape shows. I'll get to the rumors first. Rumors be like, Punk punched the guy and then grabbed him in a chokehold. Or, you know, another rumor said he didn't do jack. You know, he tried to get a hold of him, but, he couldn't, and the fight was broken up, and, you know, he was threatening people. He was yelling and screaming. And, you know, according to Punk, he just shoved the guy, grabbed him in a headlock, and choked him out a little bit. And then Samoa Joe showed up, breaking it up. And he called Tony a clown and said that he quit. And he went back to his locker room, after which they went to go get him so that he could have the match that he was going to have with Samoa Joe. Which was a great match, by the way. I love the gear he had. It was a fresh take on what he would normally wear. Normally he would be black, blue, red, and white, you know, to support Chicago. It would be black gear with blue, white, blue, and red, you know, accents to it to support Chicago flag. But this time it was white gear with blue and red on it. And that looked really, really good. I'll give props to that. It looked great. But that's neither here nor there. What do I want? What is that? After the fact, you know, after that happened, Perry was sent home and Punk was fired. And I remember reading it. I'm like, damn, I even posted on TikTok. Can't believe they fired him. You know, I can't believe he's the guy they fired. The guy who didn't start the fight, but he ended it. You know, they fired him over this fight and there was this conspiracy. You're like, they were looking for a reason to fire him, you know. The Elite and the Bucks and, you know, all of them, they wanted him gone. They were supposed to have a meeting to squash all the beef they had, but the Elite canceled it, which showed that they wanted him out of there. And this was just the perfect excuse. And I'm just thinking, whatever, man. You want to believe that, believe that. If there's truth to it, hell, you know, there may be, might not be, whatever. But, yeah. What else is going on? Oh, yes. The freaking Soul Squad turns up in WWE, you know, Survivor Series, Hell of a Moment, Royal Rumble, and all that. 9 months pass between the Brawlout and what happened recently on Dynamite. Recently on Dynamite, the Young Bucks, the EVPs, Matt and Nick, decided we are going to air the footage of what happened at AEW Brawlout to explain why we lost to the FTR that night. Because the FTR was like, hey, last time you guys and us went in the ring, we beat you. And they were like, well, there's an explanation for that, and it has to do with this tape. And that's the kayfabe reason. The real universe reason is, well, CM Punk went on Ariel Helwani's show, and he said some things like, this place is a damn, you know, Tony Khan is a clown. He's not a boss, you know, like, he's not a boss, you know, like, it's basically what people have been saying for years, that Tony Khan is not a boss. He's, you know, he's a booker, he'll book matches and stuff, but he's not a boss in the sense, like, giving people orders and, you know, giving out fines and whatever, you know, like, punishing and whatever. He's, you know, he's not that guy. He's a nice guy, but he's not, you know, for lack of a better term, for lack of a frame of reference, he's not Vince McMahon. He's not Jeff Jarrett. He's not, hell, he's not even Dixie Carter. Dixie Carter fired people. Shoot. Like, damn, you know that's something when people are like, man, even Dixie Carter was more boss than you. And Dixie Carter, no offense, Dixie Carter, given all that happened in TNA while she was TNA president, I mean, all the good, all even the bad, man, all the stuff that happened in TNA, like the fact that it was called TNA, Dixie Carter was more boss than Tony Khan. And she wasn't running the show most of the times. Yeah, she owned everything, but she knew enough to hire people who could call the freaking shots. You know, guys like Pritchard and Cornette. I do not stand by hiring Vince Russo. That was a terrible friggin' idea. Led to that crappy, like, what was it? Last Rights match with Sting where there's like a coffin hanging above the ring. And then, what? And then there was the Sports Entertainment Extreme team. Do you get it? Do you get it? Sports Entertainment Extreme spells sex. Ha ha. Do you get it? That was like, ugh, that was bad. When did this turn into the burial of Vince Russo? Anyway, the tape. The damn tape. I saw it. The whole world saw it before the Tony Khan and AEW started copyright striking people who posted it up. The tape shows, well, there's no audio here. There's not even narration from, you know, the Young Bucks. It's just, oh, okay, here's what's going on. So what happens is we see, well, people in the room are these people. Samoa Joe is here. Hook is here, hidden behind a spotlight. Aubrey Edwards is there. And Chris Hero is somewhere in the background. Or Cassius Ohno, as he's known in NXT. He was known in NXT before he got all fat. Man was all fat when I first saw him in freaking NXT. And he had the, oh, no. Oh, no. I can't believe this dude was at one point in consideration for the Shield. Man, how freaking washed would that have been, man? But that means we never would have gotten Big Dog Roman Reigns. We never would have gotten, you know, Tribal Chief. We would have been stuck with big businessman Roman Reigns with those big old suits and watches. I mean, he would have been a heel straight off the jump. I mean, it could have worked. There's like, eerily, when you look at like those old businessman Reigns promos where he's like, you're on my time now. Like, you know, stuff like that. It's kind of like a prototype of what Tribal Chief would be. So maybe. But that's neither here nor there. Going back to that freaking tape. It's probably not even a tape, man. I doubt CCTV anywhere still uses cassette tapes. It was probably just a CD. Or since it's from the UK, more likely an attached file that they put on a USB or something. Anyway, the tape shows Punk and Perry walking in the frame. They talk for a bit. And then, boom, the shoving begins. Well, not shoving. It was just a shove. And then, like Punk described it, he shoved the guy and immediately put him in a headlock of sorts. Samoa Joe springs into action. He grabs him, tries to split him up. Chris Hero comes out of the woodwork. Aubrey Edwards runs off to do something. And you weren't going to believe this, but Hook, you know, Hook, it's, you know, that guy. you know, freaking pro wrestler version of Tom Holland, he stands there and watches from a distance. Man, even in these high stress situations where people were fearing for their lives, man was just chilling. He is living the gimmick. I doubt that it's even a gimmick, man. He'd just be like, huh, what's going on over there? Oh, it's a fight. And then when they break everybody up, the funny part where Samoa Joe manages to pull Jack Perry off and, like, you know, Chris Hero and them are holding back CM Punk. Yeah, Cook just, like, casually strolls over and he, like, puts a hand on Jack Perry. And you can just tell he was like, calm down, relax, chill, man. Take it easy. And Samoa Joe, like, he was holding dude back. You could tell he was, like, holding back, like, enough, enough, break this up, now. And, you know, Hook just be like, cool, man, chill. Just, like, putting one hand on Jack Perry, like, because, let's be real, like, Samoa Joe is not struggling. He ain't struggling to hold back no Jack Perry. Get him, come on, man, like. And Hook, you can tell he was just, like, holding back, like, Let's keep it back here, man. Just chill. He probably didn't say shit. He's just looking back and forth like, I should probably do something. I mean, Mr. Mojo's got this and all, but like, you know, he may break loose. Might have to clock this guy one. Well, maybe, what's going on over there with the Punk guy? Oh, they got Punk's just fine. I guess I'll chill over here with the FTW belt. Just finish wrestling this damn fool. Got all that class and stuff on me. I mean, I don't. Maybe I'll grab a bag of chips or something on the way back. Like, I don't know. I don't know what goes on in the mind of Hook. But, like, it was, I don't know. I guess it was something like that. But that's what the tape shows. Then Malakai Black, of all people, surprise cameo from Malakai Black as he strolls into the scene. Like, well, what's going on? Hey, what's happening here? Like, just. It's like the cab guy from Rush Hour when, like, Carter pulled over leading the cab. The cab guy was like, hey, what do you think you're doing? Like, Carter tells him, like, mind your own business. And the cab guy's like, hey, what's happening here? A dude with a gun just pulled over your cab and you're like, hey, what's happening here? This, like, old-ass Robert Redford looking dude. It's like, hey, what's going on here? Like what did I... like, you can tell Aleister Black is like, what did I just walk into? Someone fill me in. Like, and, like, Punk is, like, pointing and yelling something at someone off-screen, and it was later revealed that that person off-screen was Tony Khan, fearing for his life back behind the monitor. He's never been in such perilous situation as a backstage scuffle. Like, didn't this dude say he used to go to ECW shows back in the day, and he's never been in a situation like this? ECW, not the WWE ECW. I mean, you mean Heyman run ECW with the flaming crosses and the, what was it, Sandman crucifixion and the Beulah and them? That one Asian chick, man, she was fine. Damn, she was fine. I don't remember her name, but damn, she was fine. But yeah, so this dude went to them shows and hasn't been in anything scary. Whatever, man. Whatever, man. So then Punk walks off, and he says in this point in the story, this was when he was like, you know, you're a clown, I quit, I'm out of here. And then Malakai Black and Hero are following him, and I'm like, wait, where's Malakai Black going? I'm like, this is clearly someone who has walked into a movie midway and is like, yo, can you fill me in? What's going on here, man? Like, that's what I think is going on. And, like, you know, Aubrey Edwards disappeared somewhere. Maybe she went to go get him, who knows? But yeah, and that was that. That was the tape. And then the Young Bucks chit-chat about, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's not even the worst part, you know. Was it FTR who masterminded this whole thing to get us off our game? If that was the angle with which they're going through it, like, yeah, this thing happened, it distracted us, and we think FTR masterminded it, to, you know, to get something going on backstage so it would take our minds off what we were supposed to be focusing on, and it's what cost us the win. But no! That's not what they did at all. Blah, 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 blah. That's not what they said. You know, they hinted at that, but then they undercut that because they had to get a little, like one of those, you know, elbow jab, wink, wink references in. Anyway, moving on from that, FTR comes out and they're like, hey, why are we talking about this? Why are we covering freaking footage from like 9 months ago, man? Why? What gives with all this crap? They basically say what everybody's thinking. Why do this? Why on earth would you? What reason could you possibly have to air this footage here and now? What is going on here, man? What? Why? You can't. There is no kayfabe reason to air this footage now. If you had this footage all this time, it would have made sense to air it while the event was still fresh. You know, not in a time frame in which someone could have had a baby. Jeez, dude. Freaking AEW and the All Out footage and all that. Ah, man. So they have the footage. People see it. People talk. And I don't know what they were hoping to achieve, but whatever it was, this footage backfired. Hard. It backfired so hard, that's when they started copyright striking people. That's when they started taking it down. Because everybody who brought it up was crapping all over the product, crapping all over AEW, and pointing out this was stupid. This was D-U-M-B dumb. Why would you do this? Everyone criticized it. Everyone laughed at it. Everybody just, no one saw the positive of this. There were no people out there saying, see, that Punk guy was a loose cannon. They were right to fire him. He's fighting people in the workplace. Nobody came out of it doing that with that take. And if you did, you're delusional. Like, dude, this happened 9 months ago. If they'd aired it like, I don't know, a couple of weeks after All Out, I could see it. I could see you getting some decent traction. I could see the interest. But no one who isn't on pro wrestling Twitter knows what the hell this is even about. If you, only the people like the smart marks and stuff who follow wrestling on social media and listen to all the dirt sheets and stuff know what this is for, what this footage is from, and what is going on here. If you just watched AEW and all you saw was, oh, this is a fear for my life, and that's why we had to fire him. It's like, okay, that happened 9 months ago. Well, why are you bringing this up now? Why didn't you bring it back then? Okay. Ugh. Footage aside, I've already established how stupid this was. Footage aside, man, AEW hasn't been all garbage. It hasn't been bad. I mean, they got some pros to them. You know, they signed, this is a pro in terms of the signing, but in terms of the impact, and but whatever, man. Here's something that I think is a good thing for AEW. I mean, I was kind of bummed when it happened, but in the long run, it'll probably pay off. Maybe, who knows, man. Either way, the person who signed is going to get a big paycheck out of it. AEW had some huge signings. They signed Will Ospreay again. Even though he's wrestled there before and he said he'd be back, they were like, yeah, Will Ospreay is all new lead. Woo! I mean, there was no doubt that he was coming here. I mean, he was there before. And he said, like, you know, before he was like, you know, I'm going to finish up my stint in New Japan and then I'm coming right back here. So, like, you know, it wasn't like he was going to be like, yeah, finish my stint in New Japan. Now I'm going to chop off to the WWE because, you know, like, whatever, man. And they signed Mercedes Moné. Hey, she's making all the... Why she got that name? Because she's making all the money. She's got all the money. She's the CEO. 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 That's not a chant. That's the opening lyrics to her theme song. And it's the most forced chant. If people don't even chant CEO when she comes out. Like, dude, you have... Like, you gave yourself an unchantable name. And also, here's a bit of a pet peeve of mine. That is not how you spell that. Moné has a T at the end. And that little thing you put at the top, like, ugh, I get it. You know, you want to say money, but just, it would be goofy to call yourself Mercedes Money, but like, let's say Moné. If M-O-N-E-T, we know what you're trying to get at. We don't need you to just say M-O-N-E, little cappy on the top to say Moné. She's making all the, she's the one with the money. Yeah, she got all the fancy outfits. She drives a nice car and the crazy hair decals. She's the CEO of what? It's ridiculous to call yourself an executive title in this company when there are people who are actual executives in this company who also go by their titles, man. The EVPs call themselves EVPs because they're actual EVPs. Mercedes Moné because of CEO, because she's the boss of her own, I don't know, of her destiny, I guess. She only calls herself CEO because she can't call herself the boss. That's a WWE thing. So, whew, man. I kind of love when wrestlers, like, they legally can't use their gimmick that they had in WWE, but their gimmick is kind of what is the thing that's over. If they went with a new gimmick, like, nobody would really shine with it. So they try to do a non-copywriting version of the gimmick where they're like, oh, I can't call myself the boss. What else? What's another word for boss? CEO. Yeah, I'll be the CEO of what? You know, just the CEO, you know? I can't be the boss, but I can be the CEO, which is another word for boss. So, yeah. And I'm not dragging Mercedes Bonet. Mercedes Bonet is a great wrestler, I'm sure. You know, I saw one of her one match in AEW. Unfortunately, it was the match where she got injured and dropped the title to Willow. And that was kind of the lasting impression. I'm like, okay. But, like, you know, she's the highest paid wrestler in women's wrestling right now. And, well, I don't know what to say about that. I haven't seen anything that would warrant that kind of pay. I'm sure those matches exist. I'm sure there's matches in Japan or whatever where you can prove, okay, she's definitely worth all this money and worth this, like, fee. But, like, I haven't seen them. You know, in the one match I saw in AEW, she got hurt. So, you know, there's that. It was just like, and it was a good match until that injury happened. But, you know, whatever. Moving on. You know, she's the highest paid women's wrestler. And speaking of somebody making all the paper, making all the money, but this time it's justified, the Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada, is all elite. And he's a heel. And he's with the EVPs. Well, if you're going to be a heel, sign yourselves with the biggest heels of the company, I guess. You know, it was a smart call to have him be a heel. Because I feel like he'd naturally, his gimmick just feels like he's tailor-made for a heel, man. Like, he's rich. He makes it rain when he comes down the ring. He's got these, like, drop-dead gorgeous coats on, man. He's like Japanese Ric Flair mixed with Chow Yun-Fat from, like, those 90s action movies from back in the day. He's, like, in terms of cool, he's, like, 90s-era Chow Yun-Fat, man. It's, like, there's this scene where, if I had to describe this dude, there's this scene in this one Chow Yun-Fat movie where he's got a cigarette in his mouth, sunglasses, got this sharp suit on, and he's lighting the cigarette. But instead of pulling matches, the guy grabs a $100 bill, lights it on fire, and then lights his cigarette with it. That seems wasteful in anyone else. It's absolutely ridiculous for anyone else to do that. Just burn up a perfectly good hundred. But no, buddy, this is 90s Chow Yun-Fat, man. This is King of Cool, like 90s Humphrey Bogart out here, smoking a cigarette that he lit with a $100 bill. Because he don't give a damn. He don't give a damn about this $100 bill. He's got thousands more where they came from just sitting in his pocket and probably millions more in his account. So screw this $100 bill. I'm going to light my damn cigarette with it. He's that kind of cool, man. And that works for a heel. That is perfect for a heel, man. Like, Ric Flair did some of his best work as a heel. The rich guy who... And the fact that Okada's a heel and he shows up in these, like, this fancy-ass Ferrari or whatever. And I'm like, yes, this is great. This is perfect. You know, like, he don't be cutting long-winded promos. He doesn't have to. You know, like, pairing him with the Young Bucks means he doesn't have to cut long-ass English promos. You know, maybe... And he can speak English. Thank goodness for that. He can speak English. He can cut promos. But the fact he's with the Young Bucks means he doesn't have to. They can be the hype men for this guy. They work... The three of them, I could describe this pairing as, it shouldn't work, but hot damn it does. They are like the wacky sidekicks to his straight man. And he worked. Thing is, their shtick works really well when they have a straight man to bounce it off of. And his shtick really works when there's some wacky sidekicks next to him. So, like, make you, like, they're goofy as hell. But he's not. They're, you know, they're chatty and loud and everything. But he doesn't have to be. He can just stand there and give you a look and be like, whoa, man. Like, damn, dude, this dude, man. To say I'm a fan is, I haven't seen a lot of his matches from New Japan, but I knew of him. I saw one match. Actually, I saw one match with Okada, one match with Ospreay, and I'm like, you know, this cat can wrestle, man. Damn. I can see why, you know, freaking, what's his name, Meltzer loses his mind and, like, breaks his own star rating. Like, look, 5 stars ain't enough. Oh, but Kazuchika Okada and Omega 4 at Tokyo, 7 stars. Woo! Like, you know, I can see that. I can see why that would happen. And dude would deservedly so. But damn, man, to, like, bust your own system and be like, 7 stars. Does that mean this match is better than all the matches that came before it? All the matches. Also, man, I don't really take dudes' ratings to heart anymore. Once I learned that Kurt Angle doesn't have any 5-star matches, I'm like, wait a minute, Kurt Angle doesn't have any 5? Are you joking, man? Are you telling me Kurt Angle, Olympic gold medalist, won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck, Mr. Intensity, Integrity, and Intelligence, who wrestled classics against the likes of The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, The Rock, and so many more, and even did that badass street fight with Shane McMahon, doesn't have any 5-star matches? Perk Angle and TNA doesn't give you no 5 stars, doesn't get your 5-star meter going, man. You gotta be kidding me. Your 5-star system is broken, man. If that guy, with all the stuff he's done, all the matches he's wrestled, all the opponents he's had, doesn't get 5 stars, I doubt your credentials as a wrestling critic, man. You ain't no critic. Like, you're a critic in the sense that you criticize stuff, but a great judge of, like, what makes a great match, man. Like, nah. Not a single one. Not even the WrestleMania stuff. Nah. Out of here. Moving on, dude. Man, I'm glad they signed Okada. I'm kind of glad Ospreay went to AEW instead of WWE. I'm like, I was kind of bummed that Okada didn't go to WWE. It would have been interesting to see what they would have done with him. How would they have handled someone of that caliber? I think I remember hearing something at one point that someone told him, like, he would have to spend some time in NXT and acclimate to the WWE style. And right there, I'm like, oh, dude, when I heard that rumor, I'm like, if that's true, then damn, man, how do you have messed up immediately, like right there. You're like New Japan's biggest star, the ace of New Japan, and you're like, oh yeah, we're gonna take you down to NXT. Like, nope. You have already messed up. I could see why he would say no, regardless of what money. Even if it ain't about the money, I could understand why he would say no. The biggest star in New Japan history, with more 5-star matches than most people on your roster, and you're like, we're going to take you down to NXT. No. I'm out. If that'd been me, dude, I'd have been out so fast. Like, okay, that wouldn't have been me. But if I was, like, representing the dude, the moment they said NXT, I was like, sorry, nope. Negotiations over. We're leaving. You have grossly underestimated how good this man is. Or grossly overestimated, like, you know, the effectiveness of your brand. Like, damn, dude, we need to take this man to NXT to learn the WWE style. And you can't do that at the Performance Center? What is it for? What is that Performance Center for? Is it so people can learn the WWE style, or is it just a glorified gym? Just saying, man. Damn. Ah. But anyway, man went over to AEW, and you just knew when he got there, Tony Khan gave him the biggest freaking hug. He hugs everybody. I think No. The one guy he didn't hug was Samoa Joe. Like, he tried. There was that one clip where he tried, but Joe was, like, already halfway out the door. So I'm like, oh, man. That was embarrassing. So embarrassing, man. Woo! Oh, but he hugs everybody. You just know he gave him the biggest freaking hug. And you just know, like, to the point that he was practically dry humping this dude. Like, yes! Yes! The toy I wanted all these years is finally mine to play with. And, you know, like, that, I bet you kind of had that awkward smile. Like, yeah. It's getting weird, man. Like, it's getting weird here, dude. Like, you can let go now, man. Shit. I don't like talking about AEW because it devolves into ridiculous crap like this. I end up not critically analyzing anything and just straight up laughing at the absurdity of it all. But you know what? You know what? Whoever's listening, I'm glad AEW exists. I am. I really am. Their pitch in the beginning was, we're going to be the change you ought to see in wrestling. And for the longest time, they were, because WWE didn't want to change. They were the change we wanted to see in wrestling. You know, they were hiring the guys that, you know, WWE thought were castaways. They were taking WWE trash and pointing out this is actually treasure. They were taking castaways and making them made men. Main event level guys. Even that John Moxley fellow who doesn't think very highly of himself. He says he could do it. He could have he could win whatever title. He'll still be considered underrated or whatever, whatever. Dude, if you keep thinking that and you keep acting that way, then damn right you're going to be underrated. You're going to be a freaking bum. This is a dude who thought that his, value was so damaged from his time in AEW that when he showed up and from his time in WWE that when he showed up in AEW, there would be no reaction. He was hesitant to sign because he was worried, that time in WWE was so bad. It was so awful that, my reputation is tarnished. Maybe I should retire. You know what I mean? Fuck that, man. Your reputation ain't tarnished. That was Dean Ambrose, not John Moxley. And when you showed up and the crowd lost its freaking mind, did that not clue you in that, oh, wait, this crowd doesn't give a damn about Dean Ambrose. They love John Moxley and they want to see more of him. So for the fact that he was the first ever two-time AEW champion, he won a U.S. title in New Japan, did all that, and this fool still thinks he's underrated? Get out of here. Shut up, man. Shut your mouth. Stop cutting long with it. Stop going on podcasts. Stop cracking your own freaking head open and you maybe you will, think you're like a freaking bum, man. Stop booking yourself like a bum. If you look like a bum, say you're a bum and act like one, you're a bum. Then maybe just cut out one of those freaking things, man. Damn. John Moxley's not underrated. He's the New Japan World Champion now. He got their golden butterfly belt. That belt was so prestigious, man. It was the king of belts, man. Once WWE retired that undisputed belt, it was the belt. It was freaking gorgeous. And then they changed it. It looked terrible. That redesign they got, the winged fairy design, I'm not a fan of that. Yes, that little reference I threw out was from the Jim Cornette Experience. Yeah, I watch Cornette. I also watch Russo. And keeping it 100 with Conan. And I even watch Bischoff from time to time. So I got varied views and perspective. And while they all have negative things to say about AEW now and then, they do point out the positives now and then. Especially Conan. When AEW does something positive, he will point that out. He's not, his channel doesn't exist just to rag on AEW. But hey, that's neither here nor there. I mean, shout out to Conan, keeping it 100. And shout out to Bischoff. And shout out to Jim Cornette and Brian Last. And even the other Brian, who when he came on, I was like, wait, who the hell is this guy? Who's this voice that I don't know? He's the other Brian. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So, to cap it all off, well, that's all I got to say about AEW, really. I mean, there's not much else going on. Okada won the title. It's a belt that doesn't mean anything because, Eddie Kingston won in a tournament. And, his first big defense was Okada. So, okay, I guess, that happened. He won the belt and, defended Okada, lost to Okada. The first big belt that Okada wins is a belt that doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. It's like the Continental Classic belt. It's got no value to it. It's only had one title. It's only had one champion. So it doesn't have any serious value to it. But he's going to make it have value. He's going to defend it. He's going to take on all comers. Because he's not a cowardly heel. He's freaking Okada, yeah. Will Ospreay. Man, that ain't all I got to say. I remember Will Ospreay took a shot at Triple H because Triple H made a comment about, wrestlers who go to other companies and don't come to WWE because they're afraid of the grind, they're afraid of the schedule, whatever. And then he didn't name anybody. But Will Ospreay took offense to that. And this was on the same episode as the damn Brawlout tape. And he was like, oh, you talk about people afraid of the grind. Oh, speaking of the grind, the only reason you're where you're at is because you were grinding on the boss's daughter. And dude,
that is literally the main thing anybody brings up when they have something negative to say about Triple H. Maybe, you know, he's clapping back with something recent. He's not talking about you specifically. He's talking about everybody who would rather go to AEW because they work lesser dates and they make less money. He's like, those people who don't want to come here because they have to work more dates, it's like, fine, it's cool, go there. We don't want those kind of people. We want people who are willing to put in the work and work the days, you know, be company people and do what's best for business. Not in the authority kind of way, but generally what's best for WWE as a whole. So when you go on TV and complain, not only complain, but you make a joke, not just any joke, a freaking 20-year-old joke that nobody's made since then, because damn, dude, that joke about him only being where he is because he's with the boss's daughter hasn't been relevant in 20 freaking years, man. Oh, geez, dude, if you're gonna take a shot at somebody, please don't use a freaking rifle from the damn, I don't know, Renaissance era or whatever. Take something recent. Say, I don't know, something about how NXT lost to AEW. Say something about NXT 2.0, or I don't know, something recent, not something so damn old that anybody who wants to make a crappy joke about Triple H references, man. Say something even Triple H wouldn't freaking think of. Like, I don't know, you're supposed to be Will Ospreay, man. Like, what the hell? Granted, he's not known for like mic skills, but bruv, think for a second, man. Use a joke that hasn't been used for the last freaking 20 years as an excuse to undermine the guy who has well and truly grown past it by now. Damn.
Where you are from only being with the boss's daughter. Bro, being with the boss's daughter did not get him NXT. The booking of NXT had nothing to do with Stephanie McMahon. Just saying, man, the current booking of Monday Night Raw and SmackDown has got nothing to do with Stephanie McMahon. That little comment he made about people who run from the grind had nothing to do with you. But the fact that you took offense to it means that it does apply to you. You do fear the grind. You know I can say that because you responded to it. He didn't mention anybody by name and you're the only one who spoke up. That means he was talking to you. He wasn't talking to you. That means he must have been talking about you because you're the only one who caught feelings. Gah.
Oh. Damn. Getting all worked up over this bullshit, man. Jeez. AEW, they should really be above this by now.
It was cool in 2019 when they took shots at AEW and, yeah, we could get it. WWE mishandled the pandemic and all that. So when they were taking shots in 2020 and 2021, yeah, I could see that. Taz and his sloppy shop reference, I could get that. You know, them little jabs and everything. But hot damn, dude. Stop, AEW, please, just stop. Just stop. Do your own thing. There, you are not, in 2019 and then y'all were acting. Y'all were doing something on your own. Something WWE wasn't doing. It didn't matter what the other channel was doing. This channel was better. You were putting on better TV. That's not even debatable, man. Y'all had the wrestlers people knew from the indies and wanted to see on the big stage. Now you are giving them an opportunity. You were the change that we wanted to see. Except now that WWE is exhibiting that same change. They are now changing for the better. And they're like, oh damn, WWE is no longer what it used to be. It's actually getting way, way better. Like, you're no longer the change. You're part of the problem now. Because like, damn, the other channel has changed. And like, they're, you know, on the level, if not better than AEW now. In terms of content, in terms of who's on screen, in terms of like sheer star power and everything. So like AEW, I get it. They don't have to change. They were doing their shtick. But like, damn, stick to your shtick. You know what you do best. Do it. Stop looking at what the other guy's doing and say, ha, look over there. That other guy's doing so and so, doing this and that. You know, like, who gives a damn, man? Like, it was cool in them first couple years, and we could kind of get it, you know, like 2021, so we're like, dude, it's 2024 now. Taking shots at WWE is not cool. It's not funny. It's not anything. Only like, there are fans out there who watch both shows, see AEW take shots at WWE and be like, ugh, again. There are those AEW dads be like, haha, I understood that reference. Yeah. Like those, man, those people. I am getting all fired up here for nothing. Nothing. And nobody's. I'm getting fired up over nothing and nobody's. So moving on. Moving on from that. Damn, man. Moving on from Ospreay and all this shtick. Swerve Strickland's got a lot of buzz. Buzz. Why did he say it like that? Why did he say
that? Say what you want about John Moxley, but he's got his moments, man. He's got his moments.
It was like, man, I laughed when I saw that. It was like he forgot what he was supposed to say, so he just repeated the last thing and tried to force himself to remember the rest of the promo. Like, Swerve Strickland's got a lot of buzz. What am I supposed to say next? Buzz.
Woo! Hot damn, man. Damn, Box, that was funny. That was unintentionally funny. That was actually funny. AEW is at their funniest when they're not trying to be funny. When they're trying to be dead serious. And it's like misreading the room and you just give out some stuff like, buzz. Buzz. They got a chuckle out of me, man. Man, that's John Moxley. Great. Man, great googly movies. He's entertaining when he's not trying to be. I'll give props when... See, I give props when props are due, man. I don't be ragging on everything. I love what the AEW has done with Samoa Joe. They have shown everybody the main event level star that he's always been. WWE hasn't fully didn't fully capitalize on Joe because of injuries and timing and all that. I'm like, except in that first run when he showed up on the main roster and he was like beating up Brock Lesnar, beating up Roman Reigns, going toe-to-toe with Braun Strowman. That was solid, man. Yes, perfect. That is how you book Samoa Joe, man. Injuries happen and him getting fired or him winding up on commentary and a poncho. That was bum. That bummed me out, man. Like, they made him Taz. They basically did to him what they did to Taz, man. It's like, we don't know what to do with you. So we're just going to stick you behind a desk. Granted, I get that the first time they stuck behind a desk was because he was injured, and they were like, we want you to be a constant presence on TV even while you're injured. So we're going to put you behind the desk. You know, you're going to be on commentary. But then they fired him. Even after he healed up, they fired him. And he wound up back in NXT. He had a great run. You know, won the ST belt. And he's back in NXT. You know, they're finally going to book him right. But then they fired him again. But after stripping him of the belt, it's like, wow. But now he's in AEW. He's kicking all the ass. He's the AEW World Champion. He's the monster champion that we knew he could be. He's not even the monster heel champion. He's just a monster champion. People love Samoa Joe. They're happy to see him in the world. They're freaking, this guy, man, he's great. It's like Thanos with the gauntlet. He's like, yo, man, you want it? Come get it. Bam. He's the first AEW champion to have that mentality. Like, you want the belt, you better step up and come get it, man. Like, and I ain't gonna fight just anybody. You better show some credentials, man. You better prove to me why you deserve a shot at this belt. Why you should earn the opportunity for me to whoop your ass. Like, dude. I give props where props are due. And that's Swerve Strickland, man, he's been doing great work. He's one of the best baby faces on the roster. And it's odd because a couple months ago he was a heel. He was breaking into people's houses and drinking blood. No, wait, that was Hangman Page. That guy has fallen off. That guy has fallen hard. He was the protagonist of AEW for years. He had a 2-year story, culminated in him winning the AEW belt. Long-term booking at its finest, everyone said. It's a prime example of something AEW does that WWE doesn't do. They can't do long-term storytelling. There's little references and stuff for
if you've been paying attention, it's like a perfect booking. And then after that, he fell so freaking hard, man. He lost the belt to CM Punk and hasn't been the same since. He's not the main character anymore. He's a freaking side character in someone else's story. Ugh. He finished his story. Well, there's your moment. There's your title win. Now shove off. We got a new shiny to play with. And his name is CM Punk. The real world's champion. He's still the real world's champion because he never lost that belt. Yeah. Just kidding, man. His belt was probably vacated. That belt was clearly vacated, you know, with the big X belt and everything. Samoa Joe, the current champion, love his title run, love his promos, and then, you know, he's the final boss of the AEW. I love that shit. So, Strickland, he's Joe's contender and everything. It's pretty good. Darby Allin, and, you know, the Sting retirement and everything. That was cool, seeing Sting working with his kids to beat 50 Shades of Paint off the Young Bucks, even though his kids were all painted up as the different iterations of Sting. That one kid who was red and black Sting with NWO gear, he jumped. There was that jump he did. I'm like, it's too soon, but he covered so much distance. I'm like, damn, maybe it was just fine that he jumped that far. He's got some height on him. Maybe he should do basketball or something, man. Like, if he ever got a career in pro wrestling, like, he could be NWO Sting, you know, like, Sting splashing people, you know, like, we got Sting even all these years later, you know, it's Sting's kid, like, passing on the mantle of Sting to his son or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, Sting's retirement was handled really well. It was better than his last match in WWE. I'll give it that much. It was better than his career in WWE. It was better than his entire run. His run in AEW was way better than his entire run in WWE. Nope. But yeah, moving on from that. I think I've said all I need to say. I've ragged on the likes of, you know, Monet and her exorbitant fees. I've praised Strickland, praised Samoa Joe, ragged on Ospreay and his crappy promo, ragged on the Young Bucks and their crap-ass tape. Loved the idea that Okada is in AEW and they're actually booking him really, really well. And they are booking him so well, man. Like, okay, I'm not a fan of the fact that his first match was against a dude that I didn't know. It's like, who the heck is this guy? I'm not a fan of that. You know, like, I'm not a fan of the fact that his first match wasn't against a dude where he couldn't show off his stuff, you know? AEW did an excellent job of nailing the who are you. As a pro wrestler in any company, you have to answer two questions when you start out. Who are you and why should I care? This is a question the audience has asked. AEW nailed the who are you part. That first match did not nail the why should I care. It was the matches that came after that did that. Okay, we get it. Okada, the Rainmaker, got that clothesline, the money clip. He's got the drop dead gorgeous coats on his drop dead gorgeous man. God damn, that is a man right there. Moving on, damn. What's left? What else good can be spoken about AEW? Tony Storm. Timeless Tony Storm. I love everything that woman does, man. The backstage promos, the black and white vignettes, the Hollywood starlet gimmick, the matches, everything. Even like her like assistant and everything. I can't remember her name, but she's dressing like Tony Storm, and Tony Storm is just living this, man. Like, we know the answer to the question. If you from another universe came into this one, would you do you? Tony Storm, yes, she would. And we can see that, man, just how much she's loving the fact that, I think Mariah May, I think that's her name, she's dressing up like her, and she's like her spitting image. And I was fooled when she came out at that one pay-per-view, like, wait, is Tony Storm running back to the old gimmick? No, that's someone else. Like, damn. And it was glorious. I'll give it that much. Oh, well, that's all I have to say on AEW. And that stupid-ass tape and everything that came from it, all that did was make CM Punk, all that did was prove him right. No one involved in that tape, not named CM Punk, came out of that looking good. You know? Jack Perry and his scapegoat gimmick. If he does it right, he can be one of the biggest heels over in Japan if he does that gimmick right, you know? Jack Perry finally has a gimmick that can work, and he had nothing to do with it, so do with that info what you will. Anyway, that's all I gotta say about old All Friends Wrestling. You know, that's all I got to say.
Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. This has been another episode of Moonlight Kingdom Podcast. Peace out, Moonlight students.